I prepared a few points to speak on. Some of these things you've maybe heard many times, because important things should be said many times, and points that we don't understand very well may have to be repeated. Just like, for instance, Prabhupada often explained that we're not the body. So intellectually, it seems to us fairly easy to understand, although some people, they don't understand it at all. Even though they're otherwise apparently intelligent. But even though we've understood it, we need to hear it again and again and again, because intellectual understanding and realization is often a gap between them. So there's some points which I'll speak which you've probably heard many times, and there's some things which maybe you haven't heard. I should speak in Sanskritam, but Murkosmi. Sanskritam na janami, and that's all the Sanskrit I know, so that's for you. Hare Krishna. So in ISKCON there are many projects going on. This is a small one in terms of numbers of participants, funding, recognition in the broader devotee society. Personally, I consider this one of the most important. I don't know if that makes the recognition go down more, but anyway, for better or for worse, I consider it one of the most important. Because one of the things, well, because my own inclination is somewhat toward the intellectual side. And also because I see there's a tremendous amount of work to do in the scholarly or intellectual field. When I say work, I mean service to Srila Prabhupada's mission. People in general all over the world tend to think of Krishna devotees as not very intelligent people. Maybe even they think we're nice, but even though we've distributed literally millions of books, very few people seem to, all over the world, seem to know that we have any philosophy at all. That's all over the world. Within India also, those who are shastrically educated, the number is small. But they also tend to think that we don't know very much. And within Vaishnava circles also, and in the broader Vaishnava circles, they tend to think of Gauriyas in general as not being very shastric. And within Gauriya circles, they tend to think that ISKCON devotees are not very shastric, which to some extent is true. I mean, in some ways we are more shastric, and as much as Srila Prabhupada emphasized that we should have classes, and maybe the average ISKCON member has more shastric background than the average, say, follower of Nimbarka Sampradaya, whatever. But then within the Sampradaya you'll get some very learned people, and most of the followers don't know anything. But the very learned people tend to be very learned, and from their perspective, such people don't exist. So that should be addressed. I mean, we have the highest. This is, if we are to think about this at all, and we are supposed to think also apart from chanting Hare Krishna, we have thought processes also, which of course for those who are already on the level of bhav and prem, you may say, well, they don't need all this. But then we see the Vraja Gopis, they came again with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and what did they do? Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Sabhadi. Who did that? So that was it's not that we don't have a philosophical background, but it's not that everybody can study this. It's not for everybody. And as far as I can say, Shastra in general is you could say the Puranas are open to everybody. Everybody at least can come and hear. But like the Shachandarbha, I don't think that was meant for, it wasn't expected that many, many people would study, because how many people have the time, the intelligence, the inclination? But some people should. That's in every sampradaya. Even if you go to some Christian church, it's not that everybody goes to the theological college, but some people should. And they are supposed to minister to the others. That's where you get the word minister. Minister in a church, because they minister to others. That means they give them spiritual, or what they think is spiritual guidance. So, that's, for the prestige, that's one thing. I mean, it is important that the prestige of our sampradaya be there, and also to give a proper philosophical basis, because if we don't have that, then we have all kinds of wild things going on in the name of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, unless there is proper philosophical understanding and guidance. Now, we may say that we get that from Prabhupada's books, and yes, that is true, but then there are challenges also to Srila Prabhupada, and unless we're, and they say, well, he's not following Vishwanath, not following Jiva Goswami and all this, and there should be someone to point out that, yes, he is. Because otherwise, someone comes and says, Prabhupada this, Prabhupada not following this, and we don't know, and everyone just gets confused. So someone should be there to say, you rascal, tell them. So translating also, so many books Prabhupada wanted, all the Vaishnava books. Prabhupada said that all the Vedic literature, especially the Vaishnava literature, should be translated in all the languages of the world and distributed. Of course, there may be some qualifier on that also, because not that all books are given to everyone. It's just like Dhanakeli Komadi is not meant for mass distribution. For instance, it's not the first thing you give someone. They're not likely to understand anything about Krishna consciousness. If you give that as the first book, they may misunderstand. So translation with commentaries also. Prabhupada wanted works with commentaries, which also requires not just the jnana, but it requires realization to be able to give an unauthorized commentary. That requires mercy from the previous acharyas. There's a huge amount, just unlimited amount of work to do in translations or work based on the Sanskrit corpus of works that we already have. What to speak of making new ones also. There's no reason why new works should be written. English has become the lingua franca of the international Gaudiya Sampradaya. But one thing to do is, Srila Prabhupada wanted that actually, to restore Sanskrit, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. One, at the time of Indian so-called independence, there was a debate whether the national language should be Hindi or Sanskrit, and Prabhupada wrote it should be Sanskrit. He was for Sanskrit. And he suggested that it could be done by first teaching the vernacular languages in their pure forms or Sanskritized forms. I mean, even until fairly recently, Hindi, there was a lot of people wanted to speak it in what they called the pure way, but I think that's gone now. Just like they would object if you said Kana, they would object, you should say Bhojan. But nowadays that's gone. Bollywood has triumphed. So the Sanskrit form. And if the Sanskrit form of the word is there, then it's a good step toward understanding Sanskrit, because you have the vocabulary at least, and many of the adjectives and many of the verb forms especially would change, but basically you could get them. One anecdote, maybe I related this when I was at the school previously, was that one time I was in Andhra Pradesh and I was discussing with a devotee, pandit, not a member of ISKCON, some point it was about how Bhagawan does not like pride in his devotees. So then he pulled out, he has so many notes, handwritten notes, he's made from different sources from years or throughout his life. So he pulled out something and he said, oh, I got something about it. He started reading in Telugu. And reading out loud, and I said, I don't understand Telugu. He said, no, you just listen. And I could understand more or less everything because it was in high form and because I have knowledge of Bengali at that time. I don't know if I knew Hindi at that time. I could pretty much follow everything. So that's another thing. I mean, Sanskrit itself gives rise to Sanskriti, higher culture. And even the Mayavadis and, so many. Generally, we just dump them all in the Mayavadi box. But if you want to, there are subdivisions within the box also. So, Prabhupada said that up to the level of liberation, we have the same philosophy. And culture, it's the same culture. But the culture, Vedic culture, what Prabhupada called Vedic culture, some people object to that term also. So that's what I'm saying, you have to be able to rebut them. So that's very much interlinked with Sanskrit language. Sanskriti is translated as culture. Although, what do you think, Matsyavatar? It's not the same, is it? Sanskriti and culture, the different implications. Because Sanskriti implies sanskar, where there's no idea. And yeah, there's the word culture in English means like high, it has two meanings. There are two subdivisions, you could say, which means high behavior, and the other is just any behavior, or behavior, way of thinking, underlying worldview, and so many things. It's a difficult word to define. So, yeah, actually, ISKCON should lead the world in giving human culture that's fit for human beings, in which Sanskrit language is the best language for that. Maintaining the Siddhanta, that's another important point. We see that after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the next generation, Rup Sanatan Bhatta Raghunath, Srijiv Gopala Bhatta Das Raghunath, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave certain instructions to Sanatan Goswami, I mean, among which one of them was to preach Bhakti Sadacha and to research and write the books. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu didn't write books, but the Goswamis after him did. And they established actually what is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's What are his teachings? Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadama Yam Dadati Swapadantikam. It was Rupa Goswami, you say, who established the what is actually the desire of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you could say he did that, but practically a solid basis in writing was given by Rupa and by the other Goswamis, especially Jiva Goswami, and then afterward also. It's an ongoing process, but it was only, mostly even by Rupa and Jiva Goswami. Whereas on the other side, in Bengal, it was just wild. All kinds of wild ideas coming out, what we would nowadays call Prakriti Sahajya, because they had no proper philosophical understanding. And then Jiva Goswami, after training Srinivas Shamananda Narottam, he sent them to the homeland of Gaudiya Vaishnavism to teach them what the right thing is, to give them the Siddhanta. So that's always them. That there are always going to be people who take the teachings of great acharyas, mix it up with their fertile imaginations, this fertile soil in their cow dung brains. In Bengali there's a saying, Matai Goborache. In Bengali. It means you've got cow dung in your for your brain. So it's very fertile. So all kinds of things grow. So all kinds of strange ideas can grow up. But you have to give them the proper idea, which is this, that has to be established on the basis of guru, sadhu, shastra. And not everyone will accept that, but someone has to be able to establish that. Otherwise, it becomes like a Sai Baba cult, where Sai Baba said, and that's it. There's no guru, guru, sadhu, shastra, everything is Sai Baba, or whoever. Just fill in the dotted line, whoever your Baba is, Dada Bhagawan, or whatever. Just our guru. And there's a danger also that of doing that with Prabhupada, like the Ritvik Bhadis. You know, Prabhupada said, and you know, and that's it. And you know, it doesn't matter what anyone else said or the whole tradition, just Prabhupada said, and they even misinterpret that also. So it is required that some people, some devotees, go very deeply into the Siddhanta to maintain it and establish it against various philosophical challenges, which will always come up. And there will always, that, especially as after any great religious teacher comes in any tradition, then there are all kinds of people who come and twist it a little way this bit, a little bit this way, a little bit that way, and come up with, and that there has to be established and maintained the orthodoxy. So, anyabhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyana avritamanu kulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti rutama. That is the basis or the crux of the Siddhanta, which has to be established and maintained. But to find that amid so many different ideas and innovations, it requires depth of understanding, and to be able to establish that on the basis of Shastra. So it's inevitable that after the departure of Srila Prabhupada, with the expansion of the movement, that so many things are going to come, and so many ideas and innovations, and it looks great and everything's all wonderful and this and that, but finding and keeping the actual path, that may not be what it appears to be. It may appear that something looks very nice, or it feels very nice. But what is actually in the line of Rupa Raghunatha Pade Rahu Mora Ash Pratana Koresha Danarota Mudas? In what's actually in the line of Rupa and Raghunatha? What is at the end of almost every chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita? Rupa Raghunatha Pade? Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna. Same, yeah, I guess. Yeah. Mm, yeah. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he said that he's composing. Sometimes he gives the names of all the six Goswamis, which only at the end of each chapter, I think. Rupa and Raghunath. So he's done that. And that's another important point, actually, that Bhaktivinod Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur emphasized is that, especially in Vrindavan, they're saying, there are certain scholars, Vaishnav scholars of Gaurya Vaishnavism, who gave more importance to the Sanskrit writings of the Acharyas than to the Bengali writings. But they didn't accept this. They said, all you have to see everything through Krishna. Chaitanya Charitamrita is the, that's the Siddhanta Shastra. That everything should be understood through this. The importance of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Bhagavad Gita, we can say, is basic. Well, that's far above almost anyone's comprehension. In Srimad Bhagavatam, is the Gopi Prandhan Prabhu is very attached to that, but we should see through Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada therefore gave Srimad Bhagavatam with an introduction, giving the a synopsis of the Leela and teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we should see Bhagavatam through the teachings of the Acharyas. Otherwise, it has to be through the teachings of the Acharyas. Otherwise, how can you understand it all? Otherwise, you could end up being an impersonalist by reading Srimad Bhagavatam. As some are, Mayavadis who read. Bhakti for them is, it's subservient to an impersonal understanding. How they get it, they get it. Krishna gives them the intelligence. how to not find him in Srimad Bhagavatam. But then, because in Bhagavatam also, there are some parts which could be taken as impersonal. So, but in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I'm not saying Bhagavatam's less for that, but the point is that everything has to be understood through that. So there's a tendency, there has been traditionally a tendency that among pundits in India to think that Sanskrit is the best and everything else in any other language is just not worth even considering. That's just for lower class people or stupid people or whatever. Which in one sense is true, because the other languages are for people who are asanskrita. who speaking Sanskrit is the sign of education. Lecha means one who doesn't know Sanskrit. So I'm also a lecha. But in Sanskrit language there are so many nuances of meaning and which that may not be able to be transmitted in other languages. And there was so much protest when the Shastras were being presented in the vernacular languages. But we should understand that the writings of some specific works, especially the Bengali writings of our Acharyas, they are, because they're in Bengali doesn't make them any less, or because Prabhupada's books are in English doesn't make them any less. And then after Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's writings. And there are so many other languages also. There's so many Gaurya works in Oriya, and then so many important Vaishnav works in other languages, especially Tamil, Tulu, Kannada, all these things. In Telugu there's also, so there's so many works. So people don't know this. And if we're in Tamil Nadu now, many people, many young people, they never even heard the name of Ramanuja. See what the condition is. It's such a bad condition. So they know the name of some prostitute film star from America. That they'll know. Film star, you don't have to say prostitute, but anyway, just to emphasize the point. So it's such a bad situation. But Srila Prabhupada, among Indians, he was, you should have pride in your culture. Take this culture, spread it all over the world. So people don't know that actually this is the best culture. We didn't, those of us from the West, we didn't come here for the aloo tikki. But we came, I guess that's also part of the culture, although aloo is also foreign food, according to purists. But this culture, what a high culture is there. So that should be revived. And given the, with the proper understanding. So I mean, there's, of course you may think, well listen, you know, we're just here trying to study some basic grammar and we're talking about all these big things. But all this should come. ISKCON should lead the world to Krishna. And Krishna, he is the ultimate connoisseur of everything which is beautiful, everything which is pleasing, and all the greatest writings and of the world, or the literature of the world, is in praise of Krishna, which is as it should be. So that should be brought to the attention of the world. And that's another thing, you see, because the knowledge of God, which is in Shastra, there's no comparison in it. You go to Judaism or Christianity, Islam, it doesn't even begin. If you bring all the works of Christianity together, their knowledge of God, all that they have doesn't come. If you bring the first verse of Bhagavatam, it's already got more knowledge of God than all that ever came in the whole history of the Western world. They don't even know that we're not the body. Even philosophically, they don't know. So this should be, awareness of that should be brought. And of course, that's the mission of the whole of ISKCON. We're distributing books, we're giving lectures in different places, but there should be a very solid basis to that also. So hopefully this school should provide that. And in this way, properly glorified Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And this school should also glorify Gopi Parinidhana Prabhu. He, as you know, started this. And we hope it may continue and expand. And Srila Prabhupada is the founder acharya of ISKCON, and this project is particularly what he wanted to do. And eventually he did that. And of course, he left too early. Everyone leaves too early. Prabhupada left too early. But it wasn't at all expected. Now that's in the hands of, well, especially Matsya Avatar Prabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. And Maharshi, who's, I heard the name, he's cooking. Okay, that's an important part. What is that? Brahmana Modaka Priya. Brahmana Bhojana Priya. So although Vrindavan is a place of austerity, actually. So Prabhupada, he didn't engage our devotees in much austerity by traditional standards, although for the Western devotees even to come here, especially at that time, it was very austere. And we didn't even know such things as putting mosquito nets. So I came in, I must have been 76 or something, I came in to one room and everyone was just out. And it was 11 o'clock and everyone's sleeping. I said, what's going on? They said, we all got malaria. The mosquitoes, or thousands of mosquitoes in the room. They never knew even to put mosquito there. They were so ignorant. So, Vrindavan is traditionally, it's a place where people come to give up sense gratification. Vishoy chariya kabe shuddha habe man thabe hana herebo Sri Vrindavan. It's not, sometimes I joke about the, they're putting up all these different apartments and they have names like Tapasya Mahal or something, something like this. Air conditioner, swimming pool and all this kind of thing. The mood is changing. The Delhi money is coming. Vrindavan is meant for simple living and high thinking. And actually the two things go together. So you can't have sense gratificatory life and high consciousness, because the two things, they just work against each other. I guess some kshatriyas, they had some level of high thinking along with their high living, but they were always whatever. In the Gurukul, before they became kings, they'd have to live a very austere life, but then so that would, they'd retain that. But then, if they really needed to take advice, they'd have to take from the Brahmanas. And Brahmanas like Chanakya famously kept themselves deliberately detached from the world. Otherwise, they can't properly advise or give or have high thinking. So, simple living is required. Although maybe not as austere as Prabhupada didn't ask us to become as austere as the, you see even now there are many babas and sadhus, they live a very austere life. So that's nice, as much as we can do so. But our aim and object is not to be sadhu babas or to be very austere or even to be very learned, but to serve the mission of the acharyas. And your particular service is to study, be learned in the service of Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas. But at the same time you have to be very careful not to think that now we're superior. You shouldn't think that my service, see, we're very pure and we're more pure than the managers in the temple because they're all doing politics and money and all this. You shouldn't think like that. They also have their service to do. The cook in the temple, see, we're superior. That tendency is there. Janmaishvarya Shruta Shri. If anyone has any of these things, they tend to think of themselves as superior. So that's dangerous also. And it's also dangerous. Study can be dangerous, as you know. I'm sure you've heard this many times. I hope you've heard it many times. The tendency to think, well, now I know more than Prabhupada, he didn't translate this properly, or I am already well learned by myself. Other Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, that couldn't happen. Well, it could happen with anyone, but it didn't happen because he was so much learned himself and fully surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. So, from what I can see, he kept that tendency out, not by preaching against it so much, but by personifying total surrender to Srila Prabhupada and his mission, and at the same time being probably far more learned and deep in understanding of Shastra than most of his students could aspire for at any point in their lives. Although the teacher is also happy when he sees the students go beyond them. But I think there's still quite some way to go. So, did he speak about that? much how you shouldn't think like that, that maybe he didn't speak like that much, that, no, but just by being himself, that was automatically there. Where's the attraction to this Baba and that Baba when you have him who is transparent via media of all the previous acharyas? Well, you could say naturally humble. Sometimes, very rarely, I try to be humble. I try to say something humble, but you know, it's all very unnatural for me. But he was, just like someone may say, you know, I'm the lowest and all this, but he didn't speak like that, but just by his attitude, he's just absolutely unassuming. He's just so naturally humble. So, that's a good verse that you can all learn, we can all learn. I should also speak it. I need to speak it more than anyone else. Trinadapi sunitena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Easy to say. We should say it again and again. Someday. Kobe hobe bolo shede nama. When will that actually come? But that's important for all of you, especially as you move into the realms of Shastra study, and among yourselves you can talk at a level which leaves the average ISKCON devotee way below, and you're quoting some verses to each other which others don't understand, and you're on a higher level, and you have to remember that ontologically we're no greater than a blade of grass. Or actually a blade of grass in a better position. Because it's not a sensual skull. Blade of grass is the best position, according to who? Blade of grass in Vrindavan. Brahma and Uddhava. They both thought better than being a Brahma, better than being an Uddhava is to be a blade of grass in Vrindavan. So that's our ideal. To be, to actually come to that position. And to be completely illiterate and be actually devoted to Krishna, we should understand this is far more desirable position than to be highly learned and to have various material desires. Even to be a devotee and to be highly learned is not as good as a position as being someone who is completely illiterate but fully free of material desires and fully surrendered to Krishna. Learning is not the criteria, it's our service. And again, Gopi Prangan Prabhu would always emphasize that. He didn't like it if you call it Sanskrit school. There's no Sanskrit, Srimad Bhagavata school. So, what else? Yeah, Prabhupada would say, don't be a better Paramahamsa than your guru. He was referring to himself. So, we have to show to the world how Prabhupada was right. Everything he did. One point about being a scholar, you were just telling me, because that's your service. If you're here, you should study, right? You came here to study, so you should do that. So one point about scholarship, it's not something that you can do very well and with other things. You can't also be the Vrindavan tour guide and do kirtan 6 hours a day, or so many other. It's something really you have to concentrate on. You have to give your time to. It's not a part-time thing, because scholarship is unlimited and there's so much to do, and even to come up to a basic level requires lot of work, which means a lot of time. So, and it is, you could say, hard work. And it is nicer to go off for parikramas and go join the 24-hour kirtan, but you're here to study. You can go there sometimes and do that, but you have to buckle under, as we say, and do the work. And even when you've studied and done the basic work, then again you have to write books, translate books, and it's there's always something to do else, which is immediately more fun. But to do the service, one has to sit, do the work, write, go on, and surrender to that. Srila Prabhupada was able to multitask in as much as he traveled all over the world and preached and also wrote his books, but he did that by not sleeping, practically. So if you could do that, well, alright, but I don't think most of us can do that. And even Srila Prabhupada himself many times said he wanted to retire from everything just to work on his books. So it is a service that requires a lifetime commitment, actually. Of course, some of you may study to some level and then go on do other things. That's also possible. But if you're going to continue on this path, then that's one thing you'll realize after. As you were telling me yesterday, you can't, to do your service, you can't just go here and there, do this and that. You have to do it. So, you can't be a scholar and be everything else. Spoken Sanskrit, also. Both things. If our devotees speak Sanskrit, that's an upcoming, or it's already ongoing, vector, we could say, in the world of better Indian culture. In Vrindavan there are pundits of sorts, but it's not known so much as a place of learning. But that would be if, through all of you, Vrindavan could get a reputation as a place of learning. As, for instance, Varanasi, Udupi, yes, that would be very good also. So, people tend to think, and it's true, if you can speak Sanskrit, that's something very good. So you can, as well as reading and writing, if you can speak. Otherwise, as Basu Ghosh Prabhu often says, Pandita Sanskritam Navadanti. They're only reading and writing. But if you can speak, that's good also. And you are speaking, you have to learn the grammar, also everything else. What else have I got here on my notes? I didn't follow them in order. Yeah, living in Vrindavan, it's a great opportunity. Actually, to live in Vrindavan again means Vishay Chariya Kabe Shuddha Habe Man Tabe Hamaherava Sri Vrindavan. You can all understand that? I hope so. Although it's Bengali, but you should be able to. Vishaya in this context means sense gratification. Chariya. That comes from a Sanskrit root. It's Bengali. I know it's Bengali. Not common Bengali. Common Bengali would be chari. Bishoy chari. Chariya, is that any Sanskrit word? Hitva. No, it's... Yeah, it could... Hitva would be the same in Sanskrit, but it's not. Yeah, Chariya is Sadhu Bhasha, and Chalti Bhasha is Chari. But I don't think it has any sense. Anyway, Bishoy... Tyaktva, or Hitva. So Bishoy... No, actually it's not. It's... Anyway, I don't know Sanskrit. So, Shuddha Hobe Mam. How would you say that in Sanskrit? Man Shuddha Bhavati? Tobe, kobe tobe. Sanskritam is kada tada. Tobe ham haribo, that's from Sanskritam, isn't it? To see. No. No, Haribo. That doesn't come in any sense. Yeah, it's in a few Indian languages. That's Sri Vrindavan. So anyway, it means that when my heart is pure by giving up sense gratification, then I can see Vrindavan. That's all. So it's a great opportunity to live here. Please take advantage of it. There are many difficulties to living here. Just the climate itself, as you know, if you've been here for some time, can be very difficult. So please take advantage of this. You may not be very much appreciated by everybody. Like if you're a great kirtaniya or something like this, or if you're building a big temple, but we're not here for name, fame and glory. Oh, here's something. This is a controversial one. Be careful. I have a habit of saying things I shouldn't say. All glories to Gopi Pranadanda Prabhu. We don't want everyone to be like him. Wait a minute, I have to explain that. There are different kinds of devotees. He was very humble. We need people to take the sword of Shastra and go out and fight with it also. He was teaching. Of course, Dronacharya, he was teaching and he also came. If necessity is there, well, it's always there. It's also required. That some have to come out and fight also, because there are so many attacks on Gaudiya teachings and what Prabhupada is doing, and saying you're not following Shastra, so we may have to fight also. Someone should fight. So, first of all, you have to be trained like that. Actually, everyone should be like Gopi Pranadanda Prabhu. Humble, learned, great devotee, but like I said, actually, if you're fully humble like that, that's the best person to fight for Krishna. That actual humility is there. So that's also required. Establishing Siddhanta means it's not that everyone say, "Oh yeah, that's good. Yeah, all right." It's not so easy. You may have to fight all your life. That's also part of the culture. At least mostly in the Vedic culture, the fighting, it can be severe by words, but at least there, we don't have jihads and crusades, but verbally it can be quite severe. So that's also it's also part of the culture. So, to establish what is the actual fact, which is given in Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedam Vastava Matra Vastu, Shivadam. It's Shivadam if it's actually presented in the proper way. And it's amazing actually how different people, they take the same Shastra and they come up with such different things. What do you think? And some even among the Gauriyas, they even the same Acharya may come up with quite different explanations of the same passage. Isn't that you know better than me? I mean, I just see the translation. But then there are the opposing views also. People come up with Purava Paksha. Just like, for instance, Krishna was killed by a hunter because of all his sinful activities in usurp. The king was there and he plotted and got the king removed and so many things like that, people may say. I heard in Dwaraka one pundit, he was teaching in the Gurukul at Beit Dwaraka. And he wasn't speaking to us, there were a group of people. He said, "You see, well, Krishna, he got shot in the foot and he died because Rama in his previous incarnation, he killed Vali like that." So many. Oh, you may misinterpret that the gopis are blaming Krishna. You see, previously you're cruel to women in your previous, you with Shurpanaka, you mistreated and then Putana, I know she didn't mention Putana. Very cruel to women, and then Bali Maharaj was very good, and then just completely unfairly you mistreated him. So the gopis, it's there in Bhagavatam. So people may take that literally. So we have to see through the acharyas. It can be easy to be confused also. So Hare Krishna. Matsya Avatar, that's a good name for the Save the Vedas. Matsya Avatar. The Matsya Project, That was one of the first ventures into the traditional Sanskrit field of finding old manuscripts and photo fishing them or something like that, some technology which is cutting edge at the time, which is completely out of date now. And there's still so much more to do in that field. They did just a little, tiny bit. There's so much more to do. So much work to do in so many. I didn't even mention that, finding old manuscripts and preserving them. There's so many works, maybe just going into people's bonfires or crumbling into dust. Yeah, every winter, priceless works, they're used for people to warm their hands. They turn into fire. Sad situation. Gurukul teaching. That's also. So many things to do. Alright, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Any question, comment? Protest.
Many works of Acharyas are definitely discussing rasa and lila.
Many works of the Acharyas are discussing rasa and lila. Probably most of the Gauriya works, if you see numerically, they discuss, they're on these topics.
So then we see the one point on the two sides, like on one point, definitely requires a great qualification to even read those things. On the other hand, we see people who don't have the same as Prabhupada or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, they can bring the same thing. It is also one of our duties to present those reasons, even though they are high, but in light of Bhaktivedanta, to decide to, then...
Yeah, the most of the Gauriya works are discussing rasa and lila. Not so much on tattva or jnana, you could say, because rasa is also... Well, rasa, tattva, not so much discussing tattva. So, especially Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and our own Srila Prabhupada were very cautious about this, and they were actually against devotees going into this. Gita Govinda Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wanted to print that, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur told him not to. Although it is among Sanskrit works, maybe after Srimad Bhagavatam, it's the most, among Gaudiyas, the most, you could say, seminal work, the one that's been chanted, commented upon, or it's very central to the, not only the Gaudiya culture, but all over India. It's very well known, or was very well known. And on the basis of that, there's the Leela dramas and the Gaudiya, Bengali Padavali songs. It's practically all, it's, well, apart from the Gaur Leela, it's practically all based on or derived from Gita Govinda. So our recent acharyas have been against people studying that without proper qualification. I understand from this that the qualification is going down in each generation, and that's supported from Bhagavatam itself. Tatashchanu dinam dharma satyam shocham shamadaya kalena balina rajan nangsham dhyaya balang smitihi. I hope you could all understand that. That with the passing of every day in Kali Yuga, these things, a list is given, and there are many more, but these things are decreasing every day. Dharma, satyam, you know what dharma and satyam, shocham, you know what shocham is? Cleanliness. Kshama. Kshama. Yeah. Daya, which means translated as mercy. Then Kalena Balina Rajan, O King, by the mighty force of time. Nangshati, it decreases. Ayur, it's lifespan. Balam, bodily strength, and Smitihi, memory. Smiti Shakti. So, the first one mentioned is dharma, which means, practically in everyone's life, it means charitra, everyone's character or qualities are decreasing. Decrease of dharma means increase of kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, etc., ityadi. So, qualification required to study these works. It seems that people, just like this is related, that previously it was a very normal thing for people to follow Ekadashi, starting from midday on Dashami. And then they'd go without food from midday on Dashami, and then without water through the whole Ekadashi. Stay up all night, they'd do their regular work, whether it's field work or whatever it is, stay up all night, and then in the morning do their paran, and then go on to the next day. That was the standard. But people don't, nowadays, they don't have the strength, the bodily strength to do that. So, eligibility, that's my understanding, it's gone down. But another thing is that these works were written before the printing press came. So it was previously to get a book or to study a book that you'd study under your guru, right? You wouldn't. So you don't just go down to Lloyd Bazaar and pick up a few books from Ras Bihari Lal, and then the next day you give a class on gopis and Krishna stealing their clothes or something like that because you read it in a book with some kind of translation. But it wasn't available to everyone, but now it Well, you could say, yeah. In one sense, it became available through the kirtan in Bengal. Padavali kirtan was mostly on these topics. But you're saying that, well, because people are, anyway, they're printing these books and distributing them, that we should produce them with purports to make them easier or to give the proper understanding.
That's
your understanding of it, yeah. Well, Prabhupada said that these books should be translated and distributed throughout the world, but my understanding is that it should. It's not that you walk into Krishna Balaram temple and the first book there is Dana Keli Komadi. It shouldn't be like that. I suppose it's up to gurus to tell their disciples that, you know, what this is what you need and you should study, and you should ask permission before going on to such things. It shouldn't be for a very broad audience. It should be and it shouldn't be. It should be, but people should come up to that level. Shivaram Maharaj has made books on Krishna Lila like that, but blending from the Goswami's works, but leaving out what you could say are the most, well, erotic parts. It's erotic. There are it's Krishna's transcendental erotica. So you're saying, should that be done or shouldn't it be done?
And the people will get in the wrong light, or maybe not the wrong light, but not exactly the same light.
Yeah, yeah. But the whole thing should be to study Prabhupada's books. That's another important point. You're studying so many things, but Prabhupada's books have to be the basis of your study. Yeah, you should be firmly grounded in Srila Prabhupada's teachings before even going there. And then, yeah, give some commentary also. Just the point has to be emphasized over and over again. This is Krishna's transcendental pastimes. Not to be... It's not the subject of cartoons. Whoops, I'm not going to get shot for that one again also. Not cheap. Not very cheap. It is a dilemma, you could say, that we want to spread widely and people should have attraction for Krishna. But as you spread widely, it tends to be thinly also. Well, that's why you should all be here and go deeply. You have any thoughts on that? You must have so many thoughts. They don't have to run here and there outside of ISKCON to get them, but the first thing is, are they eligible to get them at all? Yeah. Gurus should see individuals, yeah. It shouldn't be like just available for anyone just because they feel like it. I mean, if you're going to be a disciple, you should take instruction. This is for you, this is not for you. And it might not be for you even when you're old. It's not necessarily because you're old that you've been chanting Hare Krishna for 30 years, that you're eligible for that. That's also a consideration. So, on the other hand, we don't want to edit out of the whole of the Gaudiya Acharya's contribution, or pretend it doesn't exist, or the the only book in existence is Bhagavad Gita as it is. We do have that great wealth, but it has to be very carefully approached. So some things can be there. Just at least devotees should be aware of this, just like here they chant this Gopi Gita during Kartik. It's chanted every evening there at the side of the temple. So people have some idea what that is, how deeply you want to get in to discuss. Many of the points, they're not what you would call very, very touchy or sensitive like that. Some of them are. That word comes, what is that? Stonation. So, that kind. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wouldn't allow this very beautiful song, this Mangala Giti. He wouldn't allow that to be. And what's it? Just the first line, what is that? Shrita Kamala Kucha Mandala. Just that. That's the only thing you can find in the whole song, which is touchy, you could say. That he's. So, how cautious. And people came out of Gauriya Math and became Babaji's and this and that in Govardhan. And the people criticized for that. Yeah, well, I guess the whole issue should be very deeply investigated and researched. And research is another huge important area of work to be done. There's so much work to be done in research. In so many points. And this kind of thing, to some extent it's going to be, if you're going to research on how much we should bring this to the public, to some extent it's going to be subjective also. Because you can always say that, well, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said like that, Prabhupada said like that. Then you always find some quote which gives some leeway, and you can say, well, now times have changed. It's always going to be somewhat subjective. Which is why also in every generation there have to be acharyas to say, this is what should be done, this should not be done. Because otherwise it's just a free-for-all, and then everything just goes down to the lowest level. If everything's allowed, if there's no line set, then just everything goes down to the lowest level. Everything becomes acceptable, which is not desirable. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gopi Pranadana Prabhu Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.